talking about, what I've been noticing is in verse 23, it's more of an authority faith. We come to our mountains of our life and we begin to speak to those mountains. We can take a mountain that comes in like care or worry or sickness. And we can take the word of God and we can begin to speak to that mountain. We can begin to command it to go. And I notice in when you begin to teach and preach these things, you have to actually begin to walk them out yourself. And so it's very serious that we get a hold of it. But before we get into verse 24, though, about prayer, I'm beginning to see there's like a twofold to faith or two-sided of faith. One is our authority over the enemy, that God has given us the dominion to take in his name, to take authority over any mountain by speaking the word of God to it. For it is written, it is written, it is written. Because in the Greek, there's in the imperative, it says that the superior can command the inferior. After Jesus died and was resurrected, he gave us that authority back in his name. That makes us the superior over the enemy. The enemy is our inferior. He's under our feet. But when we come to God in verse 24, notice it says, in prayer, believe that you receive these things and you shall have them. Notice that we're coming to the superior there. We're the inferior, and God's the superior. And so I'm beginning to see, as I begin to teach this over again, that there's a seems to be twofold to faith. There's the authority side of faith that we have, that we can come into any mountain and command it to be removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be done. But when we come to the Father, we don't command him to do anything. We come requesting. We come praying prayerfully. And I want to begin to show you how this begins to operate. But first, I want to show you the father of our faith. I want to show you Abraham again, because God told me to do this. And I'm going to do it one more time. And this time, we're going to start with Abraham so we can get through it. Starting with verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of this world was not to Abraham to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. In verse 16, there it is of faith that it might be of grace to them. The promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to that which is of the law, but that of also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He's the father of our faith. So if we're going to look at faith, we need to look at Abraham and look at his struggle of how he began to operate in faith. And the other verse I want to share with you before we move to Genesis is verse 11. He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith, which he had been uncircumcised, though he was might be the father of all them that believe. Though they be not circumcised, but the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Notice there that Abraham began to be righteous while he was uncircumcised. Also notice that the circumcision was the seal of his faith. Now what I never noticed before, and you will notice this morning, is that Abraham was spoken to when he was at 75 years of age. God called him. Turn to Genesis 15. God called him, chapter 12. God called him at age 75 that he was going to have a seed. And what I noticed during the Easter service is I noticed the seed there. Every time that God talked to Abraham about the covenant and about the seed to the covenant, it was a singular gender. It was talking just about the seed of Christ in Galatians 3:16, not many seeds, but to the seed of Christ. So every time he began to talk to Abraham there, he began to talk to him about the seed of Christ. Abraham had no idea what he was talking about because Abraham desired a natural child. Here Abraham is at 75 years of old. He did not have a child yet. And I want to begin to show you how Abraham began to work his faith and how God worked with him. And so that we can understand how our faith will begin to operate also. That we understand that there's struggles, there's a fight to the walk of faith. That it's just not something that magically happens overnight. That it takes a season for faith to mature in our spirit. It took Abraham 24 years before he received circumcision to seal his faith. 24 years it took Abraham to obtain that promise that God gave him, that he would have a child. It took him 24 years to get in the position of faith to receive that promise of God. And up to that point, he struggled with it. And I want you to see his struggle and see if it bears witness with your walk with faith. In chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy family's house unto the land which I will show thee. I will make thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. There shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, as the Lord spoke unto him. Now it goes on and it says, Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now notice there, Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that had gathered all the souls that were gathered in Haran, and they went and went into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. But the Lord said to get out of thy country and away from thy family, but he takes his family with him. Now Sarah is one with him because she's his wife, but Lot is his nephew. He was supposed to separate from Lot. So God spoke to Abram. Abraham obeyed what he spoke, but he didn't totally obey. He didn't totally do what God told him to do. God specifically told him that I will make thee great. I will bring a seed out of your loins. He will be the blessing of all nations. I will multiply that seed. I will bless that seed. I will bring favor to that seed. I will bring benefits to that seed. But leave your family and go. So Abraham, 75, he receives that call from God. He obeys. But notice in chapter 13, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife. Now the reason Abram came into Egypt, which again he disobeyed God because he said to go into the land of Canaan, but there came in a drought or a famine. Remember I shared with you that our faith will be tried. That God, every time he tries our faith, what he's doing to our faith, what he's testing us for, allowing it to be tested by the enemy, because Satan will come in to steal that seed. He'll come in to steal that seed so faith will not rise. And what God's allowing to happen to you is that that faith is beginning to get cleansed. That faith inside is you beginning to get pure. That faith is becoming like the faith of God inside of you. Because you're either going to give up or keep treading in. You're going to keep pushing in or you're going to back away. But what he's doing, like if you take gold, and they make it more precious, they heat it with fire, and they begin to melt it. And what they're doing is taking out any metal, any other metal that's not pure gold, out of it so that that gold becomes more precious. And so what God is beginning to do in those testings, he's allowing the test to come against our faith. He's pushing it against us to see what we're going to do with what he has told us or what he has spoken to us, what he has led us to do. And what happens begins is that faith begins to mature inside of us. And remember, it took Abram 24 years for him to get pure faith to receive this promise that God spoke to him when he's at age 75. And so this famine comes in and there's no food, there's a drought. So Abram decides on his own to go into Egypt. He's going to help God out. And so he goes into Egypt, and Egypt is the type of the world. Egypt is the type of the system. And notice while Abram's in there, God blesses him with silver and gold and cattle and servants and maidservants. He gets wealthy. He gets wealthy. So God is constantly blessing him. But Abram, as you'll notice in a couple more chapters, he's still longing for that seed. He's still not satisfied because God spoke to him. God chose him. God called him and specifically told him what he wanted him to do. And Abram at this point is not obeying all the way 100%. And so Abram went up out of Egypt because God squeezes him out. Remember the story, he said that Sarah was his sister. And then Pharaoh found out that it was not his sister. And so he said, you got to split away from me. Because God told me to do this. And so Abram squeezed back out of the world. I know in my own ministry, I remember going back to Brenda's dad's house and telling him I'd never preach again. I apologized to him for being a minister. I apologized for being a preacher. Tired of asking him to move back in with him. Help me to get back on my feet. Ministry is just tough to get started. Especially when you're an independent minister. When it flops, you have nobody to help you. You're on your own. So I promised him I was going to get a natural job. I was going to work hard. I was going to raise up some kids he'd be proud of. He said, oh yeah, okay. But its circumstances changed. I'm back in the ministry, as you see. And Abram went up out of Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had. And Lot with him. Now Lot's still with him. But God specifically told him to separate from his family. God told me, I want you to do this, but I tried to work it out my way. See, sometimes when the Spirit of God speaks to our spirit and begins to tell us something, and it's almost impossible to believe what God's telling us to do, we have to put our mind on it and our reasoning on it and begin to figure it out another way. We think we're stronger and mightier and more reasonable or more logic than God. And so we try to work it out all the time. But God's going to purify our faith. He's going to get us to the place where we just believe His promises. So because when we begin to believe His promises, things will begin to happen. And remember, the word promise means that God is obligated to make His word come to pass. That's what promise means. If I promise my wife something, I'm obligated to keep my word to her. And then you'll find out in Hebrews, we'll talk about this next week, that if I swear to her, if I give her an oath, or I shake her hand, and give a handshake, in America that used to be good. And when I shake her hand, I'm telling her that I'm going to make my word good to her no matter what it costs. If I don't keep my word to her, then I am no good as a person. And so God has given His word to Abram, and He wants to bring it to pass. He wants to make that promise that He swore to him to make it to come to pass. But Abram has to line up with that promise to make it good. So far, Abram's failing. He hasn't done exactly what God has told him to do. You could say he's 75-25 here. And so Abram leaves Egypt, he and his wife and Lot, and they go into south. Abram was very rich now in cattle, silver, and gold. He went his journeys from the south to Bethel, unto the places to, listen to this, at the very beginning he started. You will find out if you fight God and don't do it His way, you'll just keep circling right back to where He promised you, where He spoke to you, when He told you what He wanted you to do. God never changes. He's the immutable counsel of His divine will never change. Romans 11, verse 29 says that His callings are gifts without repentance. That means He will never change His mind. If He has called you to do something, even if it was 45 years ago, that was 45. If He told you 45 years ago and you're still not doing it the way He told you to do it, He's not going to change His mind and He's not going to ask you to do anything else. He's going to wait till you come back around again and He's going to tell you the same thing. So all of a sudden, Lot grows is just as rich as Abram. And the wells or the water, sometimes circumstances will have to work it out. God will make anything work that He can to make it work. And so all the wells could not contain the cattle of Abraham and the cattle of Lot. And so Abram finally comes to Lot because their servants are fighting among themselves over water rights. Isn't that interesting about church? We're always fighting over water rights. I'm saved when I accepted Jesus. No, you're not saved till you accept Jesus and get baptized in water. No, you're not saved till you're born again, baptized in water, and filled with the Spirit. And we fight constantly among ourselves over water rights. And so these servants are fighting over water rights. So Abram finally comes and does what God tells him to do and says to Abram, we have to split. And he says to Lot, you pick which direction you want to go, and I'll go the other direction. Now, Lot is a selfish man, as we'll find out later in the gospel, not today, in the Old Testament. He lifts up his eyes and sees the land that looks like the Garden of Eden. And he says, I'll go that way. And Abram goes out into the land of Cana and heads on out. Soon as he does that, soon as he obeys God, soon as he does what God told him previously, the Lord speaks to Abram again. Isn't that good? The Lord said unto Abram, this is chapter 13, verse 14. The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, southward, eastward, westward. For the land which thou seest to thee, I will give it unto thy seed forever, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, and so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then thou shalt be able, thy seed also shall be numbered. Arise and walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, I have given it to thee. Now we get over into chapter 15. After these signs, after these, the word or the voice of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said unto the Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Man, this guy has some guts. He's coming to God. He's saying, okay, God, you told me you're giving me the land. I have gold. I have silver. I have cattle. I have tents. I have a lot of prosperity, but I don't have that seed you promised me. I don't have. What's going on here, God? I'm not healed yet. I'm not prospering yet. My church is not full yet. Things that you said to me, God, you promised me, it's not coming to pass. Now, I got to thinking about this, and in Isaiah chapter 29, it begins to talk. At first, I thought this was like Abram getting in God's face, but God showed me something this morning. It was very interesting. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 29, he begins to show us something. This is verse 25 of chapter 43 of Isaiah. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my sake. I have forgiven you of all of your sins. I have wiped them out and remember them no more. That's in Hebrews chapter 8 and chapter 10. And I will not remember thy sins. This is Isaiah 43, 25. Sounds a lot like the New Covenant. God never changes. Put me in remembrance, let us plead together. Here is Abraham pleading with God. He's giving his case like an attorney before the judge. He's pleading his case with God that you promised me a seed, God, but I don't see a seed. In other words, if you're standing on the word of God for something in your life and it's not coming to pass yet, you're welcome to come to God and begin to put your case out before God and put it out plainly. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. Also confirms this, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Covenant. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says we can come boldly to the throne of grace in the time of need. In the time of need. Isn't that good? When do we come to the Lord? When everything's honky-dory? No. We come when everything is going opposite, when everything's going contrary, when everything doesn't look like it's going to happen, we can come to God and say, God, what is going on? Or God, help me in this situation. Or God, show me in this situation. James even says, if you're lacking wisdom, ask God for wisdom and he'll give it to you liberally. He'll give it to you all that you need. He will guide you and direct you, but you got to ask. You have not because you have not asked. And so I want you to see here in Hebrews chapter 4, the last verse there, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So the word of the Lord comes to Abram in chapter 15 of Genesis. And Genesis 15, he begins to hear the voice of the Lord, and Abram begins to talk to God about the situation. Okay, God, you made me rich. You prosper in me. You said, I will bless you above all nations. I will multiply you. I'm multiplying. I'm being blessed, but I don't have my seed yet. I don't have my seed. I go childless. I have a steward in my house. His name is Eliezer. How would you say that? Eliezer, whatever. You got it. Of Damascus. And Abram said, behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. He starts to tell God that it's his fault that the promise of God's not working in his life. How many times have we blamed God? God, I'm not healed, so I guess you don't want me to be healed. Well, God, I don't have money, so I guess you don't want me to prosper. God, I guess there's nobody coming to church. I guess you don't want me here. God, I don't have a seed, so I guess I'll pick my servant from Damascus. He'll be my seed. What are we to tell God that we're going to work it out? How are we? God told Abram, I will give you a seed, and he will come out of your own loins. And here Abram's telling God, no, that's not good enough because it hasn't happened yet. It's not in my timetable yet. It hasn't come when I wanted it. So I'm going to work it out. How many times are we trying to work out the faith of God in our life? How many times are we trying to do it our way and not his way? Just because we heard God tell us something. You know, God spoke to me when I was 20 and some of that's just coming to pass now. And I still believe the rest of that prophecy is going to come to pass. I was sitting in a room with thousands of people. I'd just come out of prison. I was sitting in this room with my parents, and a preacher was preaching out of Ezekiel, talking about filling the gap. If someone stole hubcaps off of a car, how would you handle that? Would you tell the police, call them up, or would you drop on your knees and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost for that person and ask God to intercede? And all of a sudden, she stopped and pointed over and said, there's a young man here with blonde hair. There's a young man here with a brown suit on. She pointed right at me and said, Matthew, come up here. God wants to bless you. And she began to speak all this stuff over me. I was so mad because I thought my parents paid her off. That's how spiritual I was. My parents literally had the guts to bring me to this meeting and embarrass me in front of these thousands of people to speak this blessing over me. I don't remember half of what she said. God, I don't have a seed. You promised me a seed, so I'm going to work it out my way. I'm going to take my servant, my Demarcus one here, dude, and I'm going to make him my seed. I'm going to work it out, God, because you're not coming through on my timetable. And behold, the word of the Lord, the voice of God, the leading of the Spirit came to him. What will happen when you come into the throne room boldly and say, God, I can't take this anymore. I don't understand why the word's not working. I don't understand why my faith's not coming through. I don't understand why I'm not healed. I don't understand why I don't have peace. I don't understand why the situation at work hasn't turned around. Whatever it is. I don't know why the church is not full yet. Now notice that after Abram pleads his case, God speaks to him. Stay long enough after you lay out your case before God and you lay it out just like who you are. Don't put a deep voice on. Don't put a light voice on. Just be who you are. Lay it out to God. You're a friend of God. Lay it out and stick there in prayer and let him lead you by your spirit. If he doesn't speak at that moment, when you come into prayer again, get quiet. Let him lead you by your spirit. I will lead my children by the Holy Spirit that's in your spirit. That's in Romans 8, 16 through 18. Now notice this. The word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. Notice that every time that God speaks to Abram, this is the second time or the third time he speaks to him. He calls him. He spoke to him after Lot left him. Now he's speaking to him again. He never changes his mind. He tells him, I told you that I'm going to bring forth a seed through you, and it's going to come to pass. He's working Abram over. He's allowing these things to come and test Abram. He's allowing discouragement to come in. He's allowing the enemy to come in. He's allowing circumstances to come in to try his faith, because he's going to make his faith pure. And as that faith is becoming pure, it's growing up and it's going to be able to be the pure faith of God to receive the promise of God. But it takes a process. It's a fight of faith. It's a fight of faith. We want things instant in America. We want instant popcorn, instant mashed potatoes, instant steak meals now. Put it in the microwave, ding, ding, ding. 30 seconds, we're eating. With God, it's a process. He'll take you, and he'll work you over. And why he's working you over and forming you, it's a fight of faith, is because he's going to get your spirit full of faith and your mouth full of faith, because he's going to mature that faith in you to receive his promise. Watch what happens here. Chapter 16. Now Sarah, well, let's finish that. And the word of the Lord came unto him, that's verse 4:15, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he shall come forth out of thy own bowels. He shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number. Before it was the sand of the sea. Now it's the stars. If you can number the stars, if you can count them tonight, you go out tonight and if you can count them, he said, and so shall thy seed be. He's not changing his mind at all. His callings are giftings without repentance. If God truly called me to come here to this region, he's not going to change his mind till the job is done. Are you listening to me? If you begin to stand on a promise of God that he led you and spoke to you in your spirit, led you by the Spirit of God that's in you to a verse in the scriptures to stand on, he won't change his mind. Now, circumstances might look like he did. Lord, I don't understand. You made me rich, you gave me gold, you gave me silver, you gave me cattle, you gave me servants, you gave me tents, but where is my seed? Where is my seed? Chapter 16, now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. Now she's getting depressed. She's jumping on the bandwagon. It's enough when one's down, now two's gone down. Now God just said to Abram, out of your own bowels, Sarah and Abram are one flesh. Leave your husband and wife, marry, become one flesh. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid. Oh boy, here we go. They're going to work it out again. Here it was God's fault they didn't have a seed. Now they're starting to look at me. Well, I guess I'm not good enough for the Lord. I guess my womb won't conceive. I guess they were working at it, but it just wasn't working. Abraham didn't care, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, they're working at it because she was a beautiful woman. It said in the Bible, it said even, that's why Pharaoh and the other kings went for her. That's why he said, tell them you're my sister. You're so beautiful. They're going to kill me and take you. And so they're working at getting a seed. But Sarah begins to get depressed. She said, well, I guess God won't give me a seed. I guess we're going to have to work it out another way. I guess we're going to have to do it another thing. I guess we're going to have to add this program. I guess we're going to have to do this program. I guess I'm going to have to take this medicine. I'm going to have to do this. Now, don't get in condemnation of anything. Whatever God's led you to do in your spirit, you do. But if you're going contrary to what he led you in your spirit, then let it condemn you. Are you following that? Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove, and let the wisdom of God lead you in these things. Don't be stupid and foolish. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian. His name was Hagar. And Sarah said, Abram, behold, now the Lord has restrained me. The Lord won't heal me. The Lord won't prosper me. The Lord won't give me these people in this area. The church won't grow. Oh, poor old us, poor old us, poor old us. I'm barren. Oh, I'm so barren, Abram. Oh, I'm so barren. God can't do it. I'm going to ruin everything. See, we always get drawn on the reasoning and flesh and circumstances. When are we ever going to get pure and look at the Word of God? When are we going to listen to the promises of God and look to them to be our source? And we're going to look at this next week. That's why I'm not getting into it deep. I pray thee, go unto my maid. Whoa. Okay, since I can't have a child, you can have my maid. Now, that's not what God just told him. God just told him, out of your own bowels, out of your own flesh, you and Sarah, I am going to bring forth a child. Now here they are over here trying to work it out again. Can you see how the circumstances, how their faith is being tried in this timetable of God working their faith out, maturing their faith? They're going through these up and down times. You will find that when you walk with God and you begin to walk in faith, that you're going to have moments where you begin to doubt the Word of God, that you begin to reason against the Word of God. Circumstances come against the Word of God. Life comes against the Word of God. Even maybe the pastor might say something against the Word of God. I mean, everybody comes against the Word of God. Why? He's trying to take that seed from you so faith won't rise. And so we go into my maid. And maybe I may obtain children by her, that your seed will come forth, Abram. We're going to work it out here, buddy. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. God's not big enough, but we are. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Oh, boy. And Sarah and Abram's wife took Hagar and her maid, an Egyptian, and Abram dwelt 10 years in the land, and Canaan gave her to her husband, Abram to his wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. Oh, yeah, I could imagine. Things just seem to work when it's not the will of God sometimes. And when she saw that she had conceived, Sarah despised her, hated her. When we don't do it God's way, sometimes we can despise. My question, the Spirit of God said to me, to ask you, how many times have this church came back to this same spot, and do we want to leave this spot and go up higher? Do we want to go forth and finish the call of God on our life? I don't know why he told me to tell you that, but I just shot it out there. Amen. Now notice this. My time's running. Abram, verse chapter 17, was now 99. He was called at 75. At 99 years old. And if you follow that down through what I didn't share with you, the Lord came to Sarah and came to Abraham again, reminded them the same truth, that I'm going to bring you a seed. Abram even laughed because he was 99. He said, how in the world am I at 99 going to be able to make a child? And Sarah's womb is dead at 90. How in the world is she going to conceive? Sarah even laughed. Isaac's name means laughter. why we laughed, why don't we let the whole world laugh at what God has just done? Brought a child through an elder gentleman and an elder lady. 190. That's unheard of, even in our culture. And Abram was 99 years old, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and thou shalt be perfect. And I will make my covenant between thee and multiply thee. He's not changing a word he said to him 24 years prior. God never changes his mind on the promise of God. What he has called you to do, what he said you to do, what he set your feet to do, he will not change his mind. I will make my covenant between thee and thine, multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. Finally, God tells him that your faith is matured. From this point on, Abram's faith, through all the testings and tried, held on to the word of God. And by holding on to the word of God and listening to the Lord lead him and guide him and showed him, his faith got to the place where he could now receive from the Lord. His name now is changed from Abram to Abraham. Every time you read of Abram now through the word of God, it's Abraham. He is now calling by faith, calling those things that do not exist as they exist. He's saying Abram, he's calling himself a father of many nations. Now notice this.